Since February time, we're talking about the Beatitudes and the kingdom, and it seems to have followed on, and it seems to just keeps running along at the moment. And I don't want to stop that; I want to keep that. And so, my message today includes really thoughts about the kingdom. And I was sort of thinking, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we so often just the words rattle off. Our tongues, really, we say it because we know it up here, and I really believe in the last few months God's been showing us as a church. He's been saying, "Hold on a minute, there's more in this than meets the eye. There's more in this prayer than meets the eye." So often we say things just because we know them, and we just rattle the words off. But I just really, God just brought a check in my spirit a month or two back. I said, "Hold on a minute, there's more to this than meets the eye." And I just can't seem to get past the kingdom. There's lots more afterwards, but thy kingdom come. You know, we're asking God to bring his kingdom to where we're at. You know, that means then that we have to live differently. Are you following me? If we want to live in his kingdom is different to ours. And I've read and researched whatever I've gone, what angle I've come to, it says that where Jesus is, the kingdom is. So when Jesus came, as was so beautifully described by Blair this morning, from Bethlehem to Calvary, when Jesus was here and he walked this earth, the kingdom was here. And the theme of my message this morning is being in him and he in us. Because if we're in him and he in us, as Christians today, then where we are, the kingdom is. We're living kingdom lives. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but there's been occasions where my life hasn't seemed like a kingdom life. And it's tough at times. Situations crop up and we come across things. And it's been really difficult at times, and say, "Well, Lord, about that period, I really wasn't living a kingdom life then." But my message this morning is based on John 15, from 1 to 17, and it's where Jesus was talking to them about, "I am the true vine." And my message today has been attached to the vine. And everything we've heard this morning from the pre-service prayer right the way through has been heading in that direction. It's been sort of going to there. It's talking about rain and freshness and growth and all of these things that come. That the natural plants need to live and to survive. I was walking with Bill yesterday and took some photographs as we walked the dogs around the campo. You know, and all you privileged people who had rain yesterday, we didn't. You know, I don't know whether you had any on. No, we didn't. Where we are, you see, we just Alhama area, no rain, and yet all you lucky people got some rain yesterday, but we didn't. And yet, when I look around and I see what's growing in the desert, it just fills my heart to think, wow. You know, even in our desert times, there's still growth if we're attached to the vine. If we keep on in the vine. You know, it's so easy to want to be pulled away from the vine, and we pull ourselves away. You see, God can't get any closer to us than he's at. And it's always the onus on us. And this isn't talking about works this morning. This is talking about relationship with him. You know, the onus is on us to draw closer. We can't say, "Oh God, come closer to me." He cannot come any closer to us. He's done everything he's had to do. There is no way Heavenly Father can come any nearer to us today. He did it. Jesus did it on the cross. On the cross it was done. It is finished. There is now a way. It's no longer going to be all about the temple. It's no longer going to be about the priest and the sacrifice. It's going to be about a personal heart relationship with Jesus. It all changed that day on Calvary. But here we have before Calvary, we have Jesus talking to them. Because they know about the vines. They know about the vineyards. And it's just amazing. So that's my little preamble and I'm going to get into it. And I just really, just I've been so blessed, because for those of you who see the stuff on the computer, a lot of it nonsense, but some of it, okay. You know, I put some stuff on about the growth that's taking place in my natural garden at home. You know, and we're going to show some pictures in a little while, not now, but in a little while in my message as well. I want to show you some pictures of growth out of nothing. Out of what appeared dead, there is growth. After what appeared to be lifeless, there now is growth. After not 1 year, 2 year, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, over 10 years, we are seeing growth for the first time. And I believe that God is speaking to me through the things I understand in the physical, so that in the spiritual I can understand what he's saying to me. And I really believe he's saying, the church, be prepared. This is a time for growth. And you may not feel, wow, this is not, I'm not sensing growth. But if we draw in to the vine, if we stay in the vine during the thick and through the thin, like Paul says, you know, I've had hardship, I've had good times, I've had jobs, I've had no jobs, I've had sickness, I've had health, I've had beatings, I've had times when I wasn't being beaten. In all these things, I'm more than a conqueror. That doesn't mean that scripture taken so wrongly so often to say, because I'm a Christian, I can do all things. That's not saying that. It's saying that I can endure all things because of him. I've had times of lack and I've had times of plenty. In all of these things, Paul says, I am more than a conqueror. I can get through this situation. So we're asking, Father, Lord, your kingdom come. Your kingdom come in my life, in my relationship, in my family. Your kingdom come in my work, in my job. I know I'm talking to a lot of retired people here today, but whatever we do, your kingdom come, Lord, into who I meet in the street today. Your kingdom come as I go into the shop today. Your kingdom come. Father, I want your kingdom to be. I want to be living, walking your kingdom today. Oh, for opportunities, Father. To go like Peter and John went to the temple that day and they said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. You see, we carry his name with us. You know, we're never bereft of something to give to somebody else. We always have it within us. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Father, bring your kingdom into my life. May my life today, Father, I want to just walk it representing you in this kingdom. And I don't care if it's a tough day or it's an easy day, I want to be your kingdom person. I want to be representing you and your kingdom today. So when we ask him to bring his kingdom into our lives, we're asking him to affect every single part of our daily living. Lord, when we say the Lord's Prayer, we're saying, your kingdom come. I want your kingdom in my life, in my dealings today, Father. That's a big ask. You know, we're asking not of him, but of ourselves, because we're asking him to bring something in that's going to prompt us to do something different, to not be the people that we normally are, but to be kingdom people, and that got me thinking about, you know, it puts us in a position. I've wrote it down in my notes here, of having to change our living or our thinking or believing, or does it? I don't believe it does. I believe that when we receive Christ, we are grafted into the vine. Grafted into his vine. And if we stay grafted into his vine, then we are living our lives in his vineyard, being looked after by him. And I believe that as long as we remain in him, in brackets, in capitals, he changes our living, he changes our thinking, and he changes our believing. It's him, because if it was us doing the changing, then it would all be about us and not about him. And it's all about him, folks, today. It's all about what he has done, not what I've done or you have done. It's all about him. So I believe that when we come to him, you know, and we don't have to sort of really work up a sweat, as it were. We just have to abide in the vine. We have to be there, close to Him, in relationship. And we'll suddenly find that this stuff starts to drop off. The old ways are not so tempting as they were before. The old stuff seems to not be such a draw. You know, the old language changes. You know, maybe talking to many Christians here have been following the Lord for many years. You know, we always have room for change. Always have room to let God do something in our lives and to change us. But it's Him that does the changing. I'll come to it in a bit, you see, because when we're attached to the vine, Jesus, we are the branch, He is the vine, and the Father is the gardener. So we've got us, we've got Jesus, grafted into Him, a branch on the main vine, and we've got Father God tending it, looking after it. And if you want to take it even further, we'll bring the Holy Spirit in now. We'll say we've got the Holy Spirit watering the ground. Suck it up today, because it's there all the time. You know, that God is not short of supply. He will always have something for you to draw from, as long as we are connected, as long as we are in the vine. It's all about Him and not about me. 2 Corinthians 5:17, very well known verse. We are new creations. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, there's that word again. If anyone is in Christ, if you are in Christ, you are a new creation. I don't feel like a new creation. I don't care how you feel. And we sing a song, I'm not moved by how I feel or see. You know, and so often our feelings and our seeing move us. And move us to depression, move us to all sorts of stuff, because we see things that aren't working the way that we think they ought to work. Or things happening that we think are not the way that we think they should happen. So it's, you know, these things here are guilty so often of seeing stuff. And these here are so often guilty of hearing stuff. And we filter it through here. And God says, no, I want you to filter it through here. I want you to filter it through your heart. You know, I'm talking about heart issues this morning. I'm not talking about your knowledge of Him. Because you know about Him, you're attached to the vine. I'm saying, no. Because you have a relationship with Him, because you are joined to Him, then suck up everything He has for you today, because there's plenty of goodness. There's plenty. If you need healing today, there's plenty there. If you need deliverance today, there's plenty there in the vine. If you need someone to put their arms around you, there's plenty there in the vine. Let the Savior put His arms around you. If you need love today, there's plenty there in the vine. There's plenty there, the root. Because Father is the vine dresser. Father is the gardener. All different versions have different things. But there is plenty to help you become that new creation. Need to start talking it. I am a new creation. We've all got out of bed in the mornings. and before we did anything else, we just draw the curtains and say, world, I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Yeah, perhaps your neighbours may think you've lost it completely. But I tell you what, it'll do your heart good. You know, we need to speak out who we are. So often we're speaking out negatives about what's gone wrong, what's not working. But what is working is there is a vine and there is a vine dresser. And He wants us as branches grafted in touch, in communication with Him. There. And say something perhaps controversial. But, you know, I believe we can't live kingdom lives unless we're in the vine. I've not picked that up from Scripture. That's my heart's feeling this morning. I don't think we can live kingdom lives and not be attached to the vine. How can we? How can we speak kingdom things when we're not being fed through the vine? How can we do this thing? No more is it our relationship with God. I said it earlier on. It's no longer about the external. It's about the internal. It's no longer about outside things. It's a matter of the heart. It's internal. It's He in us and we in Him, a living, breathing union with Jesus. And this is absolutely necessary to enable us to live as kingdom people. We can tippy-toe around the edge, never really getting into anything, you know. But Father wants us to be totally in the swim. Come out a bit further, measure out, go knee-deep, thigh-deep, waist-deep, chest-deep, until you can't get your feet off on the touch the bottom anymore, and you have to swim. You know, when we have to swim sometimes is the time when we let God take over, and God births in us something that he wanted us to do for years, but we've never been prepared to swim. We've never been prepared to go out far enough in the water to let God be God, because we want to be in control. And God says, I want to be in control. I want to be the one that's feeding you today. I want to be the one that's pushing the energy through my spirit up through the vine. I want to be the one that's making you develop the fruit that I want to see in your life. You see, in the Old Testament, the vine was very symbolic of Israel. Talked about the vine, and the nation would know about that. In the Old Testament, they would fully understand when the vine was mentioned. In front of the temple in Jerusalem, there was a golden vine. And they would pass it every time they would go in. You know, and it's just amazing. I want to read this now to you. John 15. It says these words. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. While every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean, because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And he goes on there. But I just want to just go on to the very last verse there, perhaps verse 16. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so, that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command, love one another. As I said, the vine was symbolic. And when we read that in John, we're reading just after the Last Supper. They've just gone in. Judas has cleared off to betray him. And they're walking down to Gethsemane. That's the picture. This is where this fits in. So you can imagine Jesus had, not long before then, would have had the cup that he passed around to them. This cup is a new covenant. This is a new thing that I'm doing. And from here, he goes down into the city, and into Gethsemane, and prays, and that's where he prays. That's when he looks into the cup that Duncan spoke about a few weeks ago now. The cup of, the disgusting cup that he looked into, of the filth of this world, and he said, Father, if this cup can be taken away from me. Well, this is where this fits in there. So there was Jesus giving up the bread and the wine, you know, and all the symbolicness of all of that, and here he is here. Talking to his disciples and saying these things to them. So they would understand about the vine. But here he says now, I am the true vine. When we looked in the School of the Word, we looked in Matthew's Gospel, and it's all in Matthew's Gospel that the word seems to be that the kingdom is. The kingdom is like. The kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom, the kingdom. And here in John, you find seven for perfection, seven I ams in John 6:35. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. John 10:7. Jesus says, I am the gate for the sheep. John 10:11 says, I am the good shepherd. John 11:25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14:6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here we have John 15, verse 1. I am the true vine. Forget the physical vine, I am the true vine. And now it's going to be about abiding in me, personally, relationally. It's no longer it's going to be about, as I said, about the priest and the temple and the sacrifice. It's going to be about abiding in me from now on. I doubt they fully understood. As with everything else, the disciples didn't seem to really sort of cotton on to that. I am the true vine. 7 I ams in this gospel. Yeah. Jesus is so perfect. Everything is so perfectly covered for us. Praise God. It says there in that verse 8 then, it tells us that people will know us because of our fruit. And also that we glorify the Father by bearing fruit. Because we bear fruit, we glorify the Father. You see, no one plants a vineyard to look at it and say, oh, that's lovely. Lots of nice leafy cover. You know, it's beautiful. Nice thick leaves and everything like that. But they plant a vineyard to get grapes. Plants a vineyard to get a benefit. They plant the vineyard to gain something. And it's just amazing. We've had in front of our house, and Phil and Carol's house, we've had, end of last year, we had about 4.5 months of bulldozers and lorries. And they took a hillside away, and all the boggy, marshy land, they filled it flat as they could get it. And all of this was going on for months and months, and we thought, what are they doing? Is there a new development going up there? Is this the Los Minotis village they spoke about years ago, this new development that would happen? And everybody was asking, whispering in the village, what do you think it is? What do you think it is? What can this thing be? You know, this huge swathe of land, mountains removed, valleys filled, all the thousands of meters of fabric and mesh, drainage mesh and matting that went under the soil and everything. And they went on for months like this. And then suddenly we found out what it was. A new vineyard. Brand new vineyard. It wasn't a housing development. But see, there was a lot of preparation had to go in. Because this thing will last for maybe hundreds of years. Something started now. It certainly lasts till Christ comes back again. But they're planting this thing for the future. But there was so much had to go in that we couldn't see. But now I look now, I can see the rows of vines starting to grow into the distance. As far as the eye can see, there's rows and rows and rows and rows and rows and rows of vines. It's over the hill from you. You'd have a better view than me looking over your hill. But it's just marvellous. And all this stuff going. You see, they've not planted that vineyard so that they can look at it and say, looks good. Lots of leaf. They want to see grapes on there. They want to see something. You know, and God's the same. You know, he's talking in a language that we can understand. That's Duncan, if he'll perhaps put the first picture up for me this morning. You know, I mentioned in church a few weeks ago, you know, that's my dad's ballerina apple tree. About a month ago, we brought it with us from England in a Pickford's lorry. And when the men arrived at Los Minotis, they opened the back of the van up. And there it was in its Adidas swing bin bottom, planted. And it was covered in blossom. And that first year we were here, it was full of apples. And Wendy was making stuff with the apples, and it was wonderful. 10 years has gone by, and that plant has been a dead stick. Yes. It had a leaf, a few odd leaves grew off it now and again. Never had a blossom on it for 10 years. But a month ago, it started to blossom. You put the next one on, Duncan. There you go. The apples are forming. Praise God. Apples are forming. Bill, it's your responsibility to water them while we're away. I don't want to lose my apples when I come back. No pressure on you. The apples are forming. You know, we could have dug this thing up years ago. In fact, I thought so many times that it was my dad's 80th birthday present. Because he's blind and deaf, we got him this thing that didn't grow very wide so he could feel it and feel the fruit. And that's why we got it for him. And he lived another 7 years after that. But we got in this tree, and as for 10 years that's been stuck in the garden, and at any stage, on several occasions, I felt like digging it up because it was a waste of space. You know, and we kept watering it, and watering it, year after year after year, nothing. Nothing until now. Go to the next one, Duncan. Our grapevine. We put this grapevine in a few years ago. For those of you who remember that hurricane that came through a couple of years back, that hurricane come through our village. It ripped my grapevine off at the base, at about a stump that big. The rest of it was just gone. Well, this year, that is one. Can you put the next one on, please, Duncan? If you know if you can see them. Everywhere. This thing is absolutely laden with grapes this year. Something is happening. Something is happening. Next one, please, Duncan. Our bird of paradise. What a rotten old plant this is. It never flowers. This year it has. This year, our bird of paradise has flowered. And the next one, please, Duncan. That cactus has never had a flower on it before. This year, it's got a flower on it. What's going on in our garden? Nothing's different. The conditions are slightly different. And the next, please, Duncan. That, believe it or not, on them, they, we were given this lemon bush by some friends in the UK who bought it from Wilco. And they gave us this bush, thought about carrying coals to China. We brought this bush with us to Spain. We planted this thing in the garden 10.5 years ago, whatever. It's never had anything on it. But this year, it has. Something is happening. Something is happening. And you know what it is? I think it's been a warmer winter. Even without the rain, something's happening. Because we have been prepared to water this stuff. And the hours I've spent, because I'm too tight to put a watering system in, with a hose pipe on that bush, thinking, I'm going to rip that bush up. What a waste of space. Wilco's, what do they know about lemon bushes? But this year, it's different. Never give up on what God has put in your heart. Never, ever give up what God has birthed in you. And it may have been a few years and you felt like ripping it up or throwing it out or going a different route. When you know it's God, and I put that, when you know it's God, you've got to hold in there and you've got to hang in tight to Him. Don't give up. So easy for us to have destroyed all of those plants. Because there's nothing from them. But this year is different. This year, something is happening. Good fruit are products of a life that is fed through the vine. The word abiding means to keep close. I will say again something controversial as I try and wind up as quickly as I can now. The church will never, Wellspring Church, Olive Branch, no church will ever save you. I can preach my heart out. It will not save you. It will not do that. It's good to belong to a local church. It's good to go and fellowship together. Wellspring will not save you. As I said, my preaching will not save you. Only Jesus is able to save you. Only Jesus is able to do that in your life. And it means we're going to have a personal relationship with Him. If we are in Him and He is in us the branch, Him the vine, and Father is the gardener who looks after us, looks after the vineyard, and the Holy Spirit waters us, waters it, revealing the Father and the Son, and helping us to develop good fruit, and not just fruit, or bitter fruit, but good fruit. Fruit that will last. Something of benefit. It may not be a benefit to you, but perhaps be a benefit to others. I believe we're entering a season of growth like we've never experienced before. Now, this applies corporately to Wellspring and also to individuals who make up this church. There is much good and lasting fruit beginning to form on branches. I see it as I look around, as I talk to you and see you, I see some stuff happening. And it's blessed me. It's blessed us. And we just see things going on for the first time. And it's wonderful. I believe there's much good and lasting fruit being birthed in this season, what God is doing here in this place of Matheron and the surrounding area. God is doing some good things. And yet some of you have been asking God, what's going on, Lord? You have experienced periods of nil or little growth in your life, and I'm issuing you with a challenge today. Church, remain close, attached to the vine. Draw from him. Draw from him. Draw from him. If you've never experienced drawing from him, you know, sometimes a bit of persecution pushes us to draw from him like we've never drawn from him before. Sometimes a hard time makes us really draw from him. I plead with you this morning, don't turn your back on, don't walk away from him, but draw from him. If your fruit hasn't blossomed yet, and you know it's God's heart, just keep feeding it. Keep feeding it with the word. Keep in here. Keep feeding the word into your heart. And you will see that. I believe we're on the verge. So many people have given up on the verge of breakthrough. Don't do that. Don't give up on the verge of breakthrough. For some here today, it seems like not only that you've not moved on, but it seems like you've lost ground as well. It's like you've been pruned back hard and it's hurt. I know that a new season is coming for you too. If you will remain attached, linked in, close, in relationship with Jesus, it's going to take you through this and you're going to come through. And I know several of you, I know personally, some of you have been struggling. You know, and Jesus says, this is his word. I believe the word for this church today is, make me your source and remain in me. Whatever your situation, whatever your circumstances, make me your source. Draw from me. Draw from me. Draw from me. I've got plenty. I'll never run out. The rain may be spasmodic and periodic in Worthia, but draw from the Saviour day in and day out. Draw from him. Even when you don't want to draw from him, draw from him. Even when you don't want to pray, pray. Even when you don't want to praise, praise. That's the time to draw. And so often we turn our back. Lord, you've forgotten me. He's not forgotten you. He's not forgotten you. He's as close to you now as he could ever get. We draw back from him. I just wanted to just really encourage you today to draw close again. If you've drawn away from him, if you've looked in another direction, draw from him today. If your plant is all leaf, draw from him today. If it's all growth, draw from him today. I just want to just leave you with this. I've really battled with some of the meanings about this, about the branches that don't bear fruit, they'll be cut off. And whatever. I've looked through various different translations of this, and I found something was like a little ray of hope amongst all of this here. You know, because I don't believe that anybody that knows Jesus personally cannot remain in the vine. You know, but sometimes we're almost like we're just like just feeding to keep ourselves going, feeding to keep ourselves going. You know, I believe a time is coming when you'll just draw a big lot in, and it's going to just release you to do what God wants you to do. But so far you've just been edging along, just keeping, because the source is always there. Because if we're in the vine, we only have one source, and that's him, and we will be fed at some sort of measure. But you know, but he says, I don't want you to be just like little tiny buds as you saw on my grapevine. I want you to be big juicy grapes full of seeds, because those seeds are going to birth new grapes and new trees and new vines and whatever. You see, we just self-propagate all the time. You know, it's not about just scraping through. It's about having some abundance in our lives, some abundance in our hearts, some abundance, because out of our abundance, we're going to bless other people. When we're empty, we're not going to bless anybody. We'll say, well, have you heard about me? Woe is me. Or, you know, we want to say, well, yeah. Oh, did you hear? The trouble I had the other week, but praise God, he's brought me through it. Look, he can do this for you as well. You know, that's the testimony we need to be taking to the world. God can do for you what he's done for me, and he'll do it for you. But you need to stay attached. to the vine. This little story I'm going to leave you with now. You know, he will... We, in verse 2 it says that God cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes. So whether you're bearing no fruit or fruit, he's going to prune you anyway. So that's how I see it. I'm no deep theologian, but I just look at that and I'm thinking, well, if I've grown no fruit, you know, I'm going to be sort of cut off. Or if I've grown some fruit, he's going to cut it off anyway. There's another story, whole story about my neighbour chopped my tree down, my pride and joy. Oh, and he asked him to prune it for me. It's the only tree I had in the garden in the early days. And he came and he went, whack, 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 and the stump was left. I said, when he says, killed my tree, Peppy's killed my tree. We've got nothing else, just a load of soil in this one tree, and he killed it. I tell you what, a year later, this tree was 15 feet high. And 2 years later, it was 30 feet high. And he knew exactly what he was doing, because Father knows exactly what he's doing with your life. He knows, and pruning hurts sometimes, but, you know, we're able to, he makes able to do this. But this wonderful, I just read this thing, and it says here, you know, I believe this is a beautiful picture of the Father here, speaking about, and I'm thinking, this verse 2 is speaking more about fruitfulness than heaven or hell or salvation. This cutting off, you know, he's talking about fruitfulness. Because he wants to see, because we just read before that when we're fruitful, big fruit, juicy fruit, everything, we glorify the Father. Jesus wants us to glorify his Father with our fruit. Fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, all these other things that we can. That's what he wants our lives to be full of, those fruits. He will be our source. And we read here about how he removes the foliage that shades the growth of good fruit so that the sun can do its job and ripen more. And some versions of the words takes away, some versions, I think in the King James, in the New King James, it talks about takes away instead of prunes. It says takes away. And in the Greek, the meaning, the word is lifts up. I like that. Because you can interpret it this way as well. That when we are down and our leaves are dragged all on the ground, Father comes and he lifts up the branches and he ties them back up again so that the sun can get at the fruit and develop it. I think this is more about fruitfulness, this first couple of verses of this, than about condemnation or cutting off and whatever. I think he's talking of fruitfulness. None of us want dead wood. We want to be fruitful for Jesus. We want to be a blessing to other people. So I'm not going to go any deeper into this. There's 1,000 messages will come out of this. I know, but that's where you want to leave it today. I just want to just encourage you. You know, stick close to Jesus.